The U.S. moves toward normal trade relations with Vietnam. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. President Obama is in Vietnam today, where he announced that the United States will fully lift an embargo on the sale of lethal arms to that country. Business is a key focus of this trip. Trade between the countries adds up to $45 billion a year. The majority of that stuff Vietnam sells to us. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports on America's changing economic relationship with Vietnam.
For decades, there were no meaningful economic ties between the two countries.
We were at war. We had no relations. When Vietnam started opening up in the 1980s, the U.S. really wasn't there.
Annette Kim is a USC public policy professor who's done a lot of research in Vietnam. America ended its trade embargo in 1994, and things ramped up from there.
It's amazing. This transformation can happen in one lifetime.
Vietnam's hoping for even more change under the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Deal, or TPP. Gary Huffbauer is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute.
Vietnam is a big winner. I mean, this is going to be a big boost to Vietnam, no doubt about it.
The Institute forecasts an 8.1% gain in real income for Vietnam by 2030 under TPP. For example, it would mean better access to American markets for clothes made in Vietnam. That could hurt some American manufacturing jobs, though TPP supporters say the net effect is positive for America's economy. President Obama's visit marks a long road from enemies to trade partners. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Among the business deals made during the president's visit, Boeing signed an agreement to sell 100 planes to Vietnamese carrier Vietjet Aviation, and General Electric has a deal to develop wind power in the country. Let's do the numbers. The FT100 index in London is down about 0.2%. The DAX in Germany down also about 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down. The German pharmaceutical and chemicals giant Bayer has offered to pay $62 billion to buy Monsanto, the American seed company. It would be the largest ever foreign takeover by a German company. BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker has been reporting on this. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Amy.
So $62 billion, that's quite a bit more than Monsanto's market value. Why the big number?
To encourage the shareholders to part with their shareholding. Bayer felt they needed to offer a premium to the current market value to persuade Monsanto's shareholders that they were better off with the cash than they would be retaining the shares. There is a view, quite a lot of analysts are already saying that this is likely to be only an opening bid, and in order to get the recommendation of acceptance from Monsanto's board, there's a significant chance that Bayer will have to offer even more.
And what about the regulatory hurdles?
There will certainly be intense scrutiny, I think, from regulators in Brussels and in the United States. This would be such a large business with such a strong position in farmers' supply chains that I think it's inconceivable that regulators would not insist on having a very careful look. But that's not to say that they're necessarily, at the end of the day, going to veto the deal.
All right, Andrew Walker of the BBC, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Amy.
We've been following the impact of North Carolina's House Bill 2, which limits protections for lesbian, gay, and transgender people, and has triggered a growing boycott of the state. Last month, PayPal decided not to build a new global operations center in Charlotte that would have created an estimated 400 jobs. The law is also challenging startups in the state's burgeoning tech scene. Ben Johnson has been in Durham, North Carolina for the music and innovation conference Moog Fest and has been reporting on this. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Amy.
So as you've spoken with people in the local tech scene there, what are you hearing?
Well, the tech scene here is pretty built out. On the one hand, you have Research Triangle Park. It's the 7,000-acre office park where thousands of employees work for all sorts of biotech, high-tech companies. Cisco Systems is there, GlaxoSmithKline, Microsoft, IBM. I've been spending most of my time in downtown Durham, where revitalization efforts in the last decade or so have created a lot of startups and small businesses. A lot of these businesses are fed by Duke University, UNC Chapel Hill, a bunch of institutions of higher education in the area whose graduates are focused on careers in tech. And people I've spoken to are really worried about the impact of HB2 locally. We've already seen some of that impact.
Yeah, give me some examples.
So one example is Steve Case. He's this investor, co-founder of AOL. He recently canceled the visit here. We mentioned PayPal. And the startup community is really worried about how this law could impact one really tricky part of building your company from the ground up, recruitment. I spoke with Taylor Mingus. He's co-founder of Shoeboxed. It's this company that helps businesses track employee expenses and receipts. And I asked him about whether he's worried about HB2.
I think it will have a very big impact. Our last two hires were from Florida. There's a higher representation, I think, of the gay community in startups. So yeah, when you're talking to someone, they're looking at, okay, is this a community I want to live in? I mean, that's definitely going through their head.
Taylor, by the way, is part of the LGBTQ community here. He says when he's trying to add to his workforce, which is about 65 people right now, he tries to bring people here to show them that Durham is friendly to their beliefs.
So beyond, you know, word of mouth or talking to prospective employees, what is the tech community trying to do?
So Taylor has built a website called Startups Against HB2 that he hopes will actually pop up in Google searches when people search for his company and the larger tech community here in Durham. But a lot of people I've talked to, Amy, here are hoping that success will be a recruitment tool all on its own. Despite the political controversy, Tyler's company is in this big startup accelerator and co-working space downtown called the American Underground. It caters to all sorts of businesses, but one of the startups here called Apia just got bought for $100 million.
That sounds like success. Ben Johnson, host of Marketplace Tech in Durham, North Carolina, looking at the tech scene's response to HB2 there. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Amy.
We'll have more business news throughout the morning at marketplace.org. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.